The U.S. will have a record number of female governors this year.
I know it will be the honor of a lifetime to serve as Arkansas's 47th governor and the first female governor, the state of Arkansas.
Thank all of you for a great opportunity ahead of us. Michigan's future is bright, and we are about to step on the accelerator.
Arizona, as I've said before, we've been through a thing or two these last few years, but we are tough. This state is tough. And if we work together, we can tackle our biggest challenges.
Together, we're moving upward, onward and upward. And may God bless all of you, the great state of New York and the United States of America. Thank you, New York. I love you.
That was Sarah Huckabee Sanders in Arkansas, Katie Hobbs in Arizona, and incumbents Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan and Kathy Hochul in New York. Because of strong showings in the past two elections, a record-setting 12 women, including those four, will hold the highest state office. But before you get too excited, this record number still represents only a small fraction of the top executives of the 50 states. Evidence shows not only do far fewer women get the chance to advance to top jobs in politics, but when they get there, they're likely to face harsher criticism and greater scrutiny than their male counterparts. So what do we make of this trailblazing new cohort of women in top state seats? And what challenges might they face? Let's get answers to those questions from Betsy Fisher Martin. She's the executive director of the Women and Politics Institute at American University in Washington, D.C. Betsy, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's a pleasure to have you. Let's start with the good news, shall we? That
yes.
Unprecedented number of women who will be governors in the U.S., they represent both Republicans and Democrats. The previous record was 9, and now we have 12. How significant is this moment?
Well, look, I think whenever we have these kind of record-setting moments, it's a time to pause and just take note of the fact and think about how we got there and where we need to go from here. You know, in 2018, we had a record number of women elected to Congress. So a similar in that vein that now we have a record number of female governors coming in 2023. But the downside to that is that there are still 18 states that have never, ever elected a female as governor.
Four of these women are Republican. That's Kay Ivey in Alabama, Kim Reynolds in Iowa, Kristi Noem in South Dakota, and former Trump White House press secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Many states had Republican challengers who were women as well, even if they didn't actually win. So is it important at this point to note the growth of conservative women going for these top jobs?
Well, I think so. And, you know, you mentioned Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Look, Arkansas was one of the states that had never had a woman elected as governor, and now they do. So, you know, especially when we think about this election, I think a lot of the focus has been on some of the Democrats that won because of that abortion factor of being so significant, I think. Yeah. In this election cycle, and, you know, the Democratic women that won from states that are fairly purplish states. Four of these women incumbents were thought to have these tough races, and they all won. And I think that was that abortion issue that galvanized pro-choice women in those states to vote and elect pro-choice women candidates.
So you mentioned the Democrats. Let's talk about them. 8 women in governor offices across the country, and that includes 3 new women in that office. That's Katie Hobbs in Arizona, Maura Healey in Massachusetts, and then Tina Kotek in Oregon. Healey and Kotek are seen as being particularly exciting wins. Why is that?
Both of those women running have not only set records in terms of belonging to this group of 12 history making, but these two women are also openly lesbian women who won their races. And so making history on a couple different marks this go round. And then also you mentioned Katie Hobbs as well. 2 of those races in Oregon and Arizona, we saw women competing against women. In Oregon, there are 3 women. There was an independent candidate, Republican and Democrat. So you had 3 women on the top of the ballot there. And then, of course, in Arizona, you had the much examined closely race of Katie
much
Hobbs.
Much watched, yes. But,
yes, a lot of people talking about that. That was one that garnered a lot of attention.
So, as I mentioned, it's obviously good news if you care about equality that more women are winning those executive office seats. But still, men far outpace women in these positions, as they do in pretty much every area of politics. Former Governor Ann Richards of Texas talked about some of the challenges that women face, not only in getting into the highest office in a state, but what happens when they're there. This is from a 2003 interview with the Texas Politics Project.
Women have to prove themselves more than men do, because we're going against the tide. The tide has always been that white males are the ones that are going to occupy these big elective positions.
So that was two decades ago, just about, and that is still true.
Well, I was just going to say, there's nothing better than a quote from Ann Richards, really. She always says things in the most perfect way. There's still this issue of imagination factor that I think we're up against as women, especially when you think about women who are leading states in sort of that executive role, which has kind of been more difficult for women to attain. People have done research on this, the Barbara Lee Family Foundation among them, who's a partner with my institute at American University. When you ask voters to imagine a governor, they picture a white male. And that's not surprising, right? We've all been in the state capitol, right? In whatever home state we live in, and we do the capitol tour, you know, as elementary school students, right? And you look at the portraits up of the former governors of the state, right? There maybe there's a woman in there, but mostly it's a sea of white men. And so that default image that comes to our mind when we think of a governor is a white male. And so the more that we have women who are going to change that picture, I think that helps other young women sort of imagine the possibilities, picture themselves in such a role, and maybe inspires voters to elect a woman, or more importantly, in many respects, inspires a woman to actually run for office herself.
I think Ann Richards is a good example of the next issue I'm going to ask about, which is how much tougher it is for a woman to govern. There have been numerous studies that have shown they're criticized more readily, more harshly for things that are not mostly remarked upon when a man does them as governor. It's harder for a woman to stay in office once they get there, and Richards lost her reelection bid. Another former governor, Christine Todd Whitman, was a Republican who won two terms in New Jersey. She talked about this in a TV interview in 2015, speaking about the extra challenges she and other women face.
First of all, if you look at the statistics on voting, we're much harder on women candidates than we are on men. We don't accept the same level of life experiences being meaningful as we do for a male. And I think part of it is because there are just not as many of us in these positions of decision-making and power, that it's very personal for us when a woman messes up.
So what Whitman is talking about there, how this is all very personal, how there's greater scrutiny, is this still a barrier for women to get reelected or to remain in politics?
Well, it's interesting because I think, you know, especially when we're talking about this election, every incumbent woman who ran for governor this year, Republican and Democrat, won their reelection. Mm. And so the good news in that is that this is just extra validating, I think, to them, that to people to recognize that these are effective leaders to the voters. They've been given another term. And so, you know, maybe things are changing a little bit. But yes, you know, women are still held to that tougher standard. And it is very much, you know, especially in the role of a governor, the likability factor comes in. And then also, are they too tough, right? And so it's hard to have that both ways. But I think what we are seeing now, and again, as more and more women take on these leadership roles, is that they are effective leaders. And I think that is very validating in the fact that we've seen so many women now, governors, been reelected.
So there are more women than ever in these top jobs. It still represents a fraction of the jobs that are opened that are mostly being taken by men. But even slower progress is made by women of color. We have only one woman of color who is a sitting governor at this point, and there have been only three in the entire history of the United States. And no Black women have attained a governor seat. Three ran unsuccessfully this time around in Georgia and in Iowa and in Alabama. Why is this particular hurdle so difficult for women of color in particular, do you think?
I think that, you know, it is more difficult. We do know that women of color, especially, and men too as well, they do face this kind of same thing as when we're talking about women, this kind of higher standard and this kind of need to prove themselves. And so I think that is changing somewhat, but I think that is kind of our next real hurdle is, are we going to see, you know, a Black woman elected as governor? Now, we have a Black woman as the Vice President of the United States, so, you know, we can be thankful for that as well and see progress again to kind of go back to that imagination factor I was talking about. I think that only helps in terms of being able to inspire young women of color to run for office and as well as for voters to really see them as effective leaders and to hopefully be able to elect more people of color to some of these top leadership jobs.
Well, your wishes to the ears of the electorate. Betsy Fisher Martin is Executive Director of the Women and Politics Institute at American University. Betsy, thank you so much.
Of course. Happy to be here with you.